Unit 7. Language and Literature. Reading 2.
Desiree's Baby by Kate Chopin. Desiree sat in her room one hot afternoon. The baby lay asleep upon her own great mahogany bed. One of LaBlanche's little quadroon boys stood fanning the child. Desiree's eyes had been fixed absently and sadly upon the baby. She looked from her child to the boy who stood beside him and back again. Ah! The blood turned like ice in her veins, and a clammy moisture gathered upon her face. She stayed motionless, with her gaze riveted upon her child, and her face the picture of fright. Presently, her husband entered the room, and without noticing her, went to a table and began to search among some papers. Armand, she called to him, but he did not notice. Armand, she said again. Then she rose and tottered toward him. Armand, she panted once more, clutching his arm. Look at our child. What does it mean? Tell me. It means, he answered lightly, that the child is not white. It means that you are not white. When she could hold a pen in her hand, she sent a despairing letter to Madame Valmond. My mother, they tell me I am not white. For God's sake, tell them it is not true. I will die. I must die. I cannot be so unhappy and live. The answer that came was brief. My own Desiree, come home to Valmond, back to your mother who loves you. Come with your child. When the letter reached Desiree, she went with it to her husband's study and laid it open upon the desk before which he sat. He said nothing. Shall I go to Armand? She asked in tones sharp with agonized suspense. Yes, go. Do you want me to go? Yes, I want you to go. She turned away like one stunned by a blow and walked slowly toward the door, hoping he would call her back. Goodbye, Armand, she moaned. He did not answer her. Desiree went in search of her child. Xandrine was pacing the gallery with it. She took the little one from the nurse's arms and, descending the steps, walked away. Desiree had not changed the thin white dress nor the slippers which she wore. She did not take the broad road which led to the far-off plantation of Valmond. She walked across a deserted field where the stubble bruised her tender feet and tore her thin gown to shreds. She disappeared among the reeds and willows that grew thick along the banks, and she did not come back again. Some weeks later, there was a curious scene enacted at Le Brie. In the center of the backyard was a great bonfire. Armand Aubigny sat in the wide hallway that commanded a view of the spectacle, and it was he who dealt out to a half-dozen negroes the material which kept this fire ablaze. The last thing to go was a tiny bundle of letters that Desiree had sent to him during the days of their espousal. There was the remnant of one back in the drawer from which he took them, but it was not Desiree's. It was part of an old letter from his mother to his father. He read it. She was thanking God for the blessing of her husband's love. But above all, she wrote, I thank the good God for having so arranged our lives that our dear Armand will never know that his mother belongs to the race that is cursed with the brand of slavery.